Shamai, this is Franks. Just quickly to say, this is one of our hometown hero episodes where we, on the Patreon, if you're on the top tier, we do a stories and history about where you're from. We're doing this because throughout June and July, we're doing half price for the top two tiers. So if you're paying £5 a month, you only pay £2.50. And if you pay £10 a month, you only pay £5. We've gone through the tiers before, but top tier gets two extra episodes a month. Plus, after first month, you get some home style artwork. Oh, I don't know what I mean by that, but you'll figure it out. You also get what do you get? What is the first month one? It's
Customized artwork sort of thing. Yeah, so you get like, you know, like we got like our album art for every episode. Yeah, we just make it a custom one of them for you. We ask you some questions, you give us some input, we give you some artwork, and then was it 3 months? You get your own hometown episode. Tell us where you're from, where you grew up, or whatever. And then the 6 month mark, is it? You get we make a Mabinogion story about you, so we put you into the annals of Welsh mythology.
And then 12 months, you get a coat of arms with 3 traits and like a House of Dragon style thingy. And then 18 months, you get a free T-shirt from our merchandise. But yeah, so for the next 2 months, you'll get it at half price. And anyone who's already on that top on those tiers, we'll adjust your pricing for you, so you don't need to do anything. We'll do all that and make sure you also get half price because you are legends. All right, ta-da, bye.
Croeso and welcome to the Tales for Wales Patreon. No, we haven't got a fucking intro, all right?
I'm done doing that joke now. I'm just thinking
I was going to do it one more time and you just pulled the rug from underneath me.
I hate it. It's just, I find sometimes when you listen to a podcast when it's too formulaic, even I don't like the welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails. That stresses me out.
Oh, I love that I don't ever want to get rid of that. Don't you ever tell me to get rid of that because I'll never listen.
You're better at doing that than me. But like, I listened to this one podcast where it's like it makes up a fake sponsor every week for who sponsors them. And I just find it a little bit like, oh, I get it, mate. You've said this joke once or twice. But the Tales for Wales one changed.
It's pathetic, isn't it? It's pathetic when you do the same thing over and over again.
But the intro, for our, at least ours, it's a different intro every week. It's not the
exactly.
Same. Yeah, so that's
no
fine.
One can accuse us of being samey.
No. Oh, there's all dust on the wall. Oof.
You got a bit dusty. I'm dead dusty.
You're covered in fucking dust, like fucking disgusting pigs.
My fucking skull's a bit dusty today.
So, do you join me live at the scene of a horrible sight? A pig man digesting his
a man pig, a pig a man, a swine, a swine human,
the horizontal human. Here he is, yeah.
The long pig himself.
Yeah. I hear rumour there was a dusty boy, and I went to go visit, and I the sights I saw.
Yes, I haven't even been to sleep.
Have you not?
I didn't even not. I've been on absolute filmathon, mate. And it ain't ending anytime. Jesus. It never ended. Just can't, I've got a chronic issue where I just can't let the night end. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me.
Yeah. Well, this is now, some would call it a 2-day bender.
I'm not on the beat. I'm on the Heineken Zeros today to trick my brain. But even that, I can't do half measures, right? I went to the shop and I was like, I'll get 4. And I was like, I probably fancy more than 4.
Yeah.
And I got a pack of 12. They're alcohol free. It doesn't matter how many I drink.
So talk me through it there. What the hell's going on?
Oh, my first film I watched was shite. It was called Locked.
And it's because our wives were out together, weren't they? They were out
The wives were out together, so it was like, here we go, painting the town beige. Very good.
The reason I say that is because they didn't go out and make it. They went out for like a good couple of hours, but they weren't smashed.
They were actually okay, weren't they? Mm. I didn't have to like hold my wife's hair while she was throwing up or anything, which is nice. But we were both texting when we were like, oh, I wish they'd stay out till like midnight so I could just have the whole day to myself. She came back, right? Basically, I watched that Locked, which was really shit. And then I watched A Few Good Men, which was absolutely class. But she came back like right at the end third. And I was like, stop talking to me while I'm trying to fucking watch this brilliant film.
Yeah.
So I watched Locked, which was crap. Although it gained another half star from me because Anthony Hopkins plays himself as Welsh in it. And he talks about being from Wales and he does a little bit of Welsh in it. So I was you get a half star from that. But that was dog shit. For anyone who's thinking of giving that a look, it's about a guy who gets trapped in a car and it sounds like Saw-esque from the description, but basically the traps, if you like, quote unquote, are like, oh, he's turned the aircon on massive, so he's a bit cold, and then he
so bad.
Does it on hot. He's also got all the seats are like wired with like a taser, so like if he swears too much, he zaps him and stuff. Like, it's just crap.
That was crap. Awful.
And then I watched Few Good Men, which is really, really good. Then I watched The Boxing, which was excellent.
And it was such a good then, fight, wasn't it?
Oh, it was brilliant. As someone who just watches The Boxing to see two...
Knockouts.
Two Neanderthals lump shit out of each other. That was perfect for me.
Well, this is a bit different because they were lighter than normal, like heavyweights. So when you have like...
They were so quick.
Yeah, because normally you like to watch the big hitters, don't you? Like the Anthony Joshuas and the fucking Usyks and stuff like that. You like heavyweight. But this year was like...
Yeah, dropping bombs. One of them was a These guys were so quick.
It was
quick.
Class, wasn't it? It was so good.
It was amazing, I was well into it.
I watched that on my phone in bed when some guy from like Macclesfield was streaming it on TikTok Live. And he was I hope you're all enjoying this. And he kept
saying, when you were texting about it, I was like, how has he fucking got a stream? Because you're so useless for those sorts of things. I was like, he must have some sort of dodgy
thing. Normally, I'll just buy
there.
It. I'll just pay, because I got Sky, I'll just buy it for like 20 quid. And I love boxing. So I was like, I normally would, but I was knackered yesterday. So I was in bed. And then I was going through TikTok and someone was live streaming it. And he was so northern. He was like, right, you don't have to pay. I'm doing this for you just to be in front of. And he was so lovely. Right, I'll have to close the stream because I'm getting a warning now. I'll be back in two.
They can't keep a good dog down. Don't worry.
No. He was like, make sure you follow. You can unfollow after, but this is just for you. He was so nice.
Yeah. A little treat really for the followers.
Yeah.
Oh, well, God bless him. Because it was a great match. Yeah. It was his match, is that what you call it? Fight, whatever.
About.
Sports. About, yeah. It was really good. And then after that, I watched that Havoc, the Gareth Edwards
we're gonna watch that
movie.
This week. Yeah.
It's decent. It's not
his
best.
I heard it's like a 3.5, 3.
It's more like what I love his previous works, like The Raid and Raid 2 and all that. Like the sort of hand-to-hand fighting is insanely good.
Yeah.
And this one is a bit more like gunplay.
Yeah,
there is
not
a good
cool.
bit of like there is a good bit of fisticuffs in it, which is quite good. But it's way more like gunny and like that's just not as cool to me. I prefer
And he's
like,
not as good
know,
as that. Like
people.
His kind of MO is being sick with like
like ridiculously good choreography in those fights and stuff. So it was all right. It was okay. And then after that, I watched, what was it? I watched The Fifth Element.
Because it's like 2.5 hours, Havoc, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good 2 hours.
It's good 2 hours.
A few Good Men is like 2.5.
Yeah.
So that I was just rolled by the end. And then I watched The Fifth Element. Excellent. Old school one, old school sci-fi from my youth, and then I watched Novocaine. Have you seen that with Jack Quaid?
Is it the one where
you can't feel
pain?
Yeah, that was all right. It's got some cool kills in it.
Yeah,
it's a bit campy and a bit like you can't take it too seriously.
No,
and it's like played for laughs a lot. You know,
yeah,
it's like
he gets
stupid.
Like a mace in the back of the head. He's like, oh, you're
and he's like, smorgasbord, what's this?
Yeah,
and it's got some cool kills in it. It's very gory if you just like sort of inventive kills.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't actually drink all that much considering the amount of time, the hours I was putting in.
Yeah.
So I had like beers from like, I dropped Amy and Sarah, our friend's wife, wife-to-be, off at like 11:30. So I was back by 1, cracked cans in, but I was on the Bud Lights, so they're not too strong.
No.
And then I was on them until about 10.
Yeah.
Then I went on the rums and I only drank like... It was a full bottle of rum, and I think I drank like maybe I want to say like a sixth of it over like from then to like 6 in the morning.
What?
So
that's barely anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It was low and slow, mate.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get
was
like
this in bed?
Put myself to sleep.
Were you watching these in bed?
No. I stayed downstairs.
Yeah. Well, and then Scott came. You walked the dog.
Yeah. Well, I had to get up like on the weekends. I woke up at 7:30, but I was like, I'll just do it an hour early. And then I just haven't been to bed since, and now I'm on the Heineken Zeros, topping
That's
myself
so
back up.
So you kind of had a sober night staying up.
Yeah, it wasn't like I wasn't pissed, you know.
Yeah.
I was like on a nice level. I was
How
like,
tired are you now?
All the way through. I'm fucking exhausted. the body of a 35-year-old man cannot do this anymore.
Because it's one thing staying up drunk and then having that booze to kind of tide you over, but doing it relatively stone cold Steve sober. Hey, both down. Sorry, suppose it's been a nightmare. Lie down. Go on. Good girl. I'm going to have to go watch Until Dawn later today.
I still haven't watched the trailer for that.
But I've got a week off from tomorrow, and I'm absolutely buzzing. And I'm
so jealous.
Like the third week of booze free, and I've been going to the gym and stuff in the morning. So I feel like I am prime of life at the moment. Until I woke up and I did boxing yesterday, all of my upper body feels like I've been hit by a freight train, and I'm like, oh Christ! It hurts to cough. It's like
diaphragm. I thought fucked.
Like I've done, you know, I've not been boozing, but like loads of exercise, and I feel worse than if I had like 15 pints. I feel generally like I can't walk around today.
So you might as well have done what I did, exactly, and not gone to sleep.
Yeah,
had rum until the early hours.
Yeah, tum tum tum. Well, what's on today's agenda?
So today is one of our hometown episodes for our lovely Patreons. Today's one is for Leon Langford. He's been a long-time member of our beloved Taylee. And while we usually only do one locale, don't we? I'm sort of doing a double dip here a bit, because he said sort of where he was born and then where he kind of grew up and spent most of his time. So I've got a little, yeah, exactly, where the man was formed. So I've done like, I've got a little tidbit on the first bit, and then I got a bit more on the second part then.
Come on then, spit it out.
So our boy Leon, he was born in a place called Tycroes, which is located on the eastern fringe of the Aman Valley. This is in southwest Wales, but it's like, it's bordering on being south central, looking at the map, because it's like, it's so eastern in the Aman Valley. It gets its name from a house that used to be on a crossroads in what would become the village centre. T meaning house in Welsh, and Croes meaning cross. And where that, yeah, like I said, where that house is now is where the village square was. So, sorry, where that house was is where the village square is now. So that's why they call it Tycroes. Before the 1800s, it was sparsely populated because of the poor quality soil in the area. Sorry, Leon, mate. You were poor. Yeah, I was about to say sorry. Didn't mean to absolutely call you out for your shit soil, Leon, but there you go. But there were some fertile areas along the river Locher. Is that spelled? Is that how you say it? Loughor. Locher.
Loch, yeah.
Locher, I don't know. Avon Llochr in Welsh. Yeah. And so along this river, there's two notable properties. One was called Plas Mawr, literally Big Palace or Great Palace in Welsh. Also known as Plas Llanedi and Cwrt y Ceidrym. This place was built in the 16th century and was the seat of the Penry family and their descendants. William Penry and his son Henry Penry. were high sheriffs in William Penry and Henry Penry. Had absolutely no care about naming his son, did he? So they were high sheriffs in 1736 and 1756, respectively. And the whole Penry lot, they were descended from a guy called Bleddyn ap Meinarch, who was an old king of Brycheiniog in the 11th century. So they got like quite from a notable stock type thing.
And they also mind it might be called Henry Bombemry.
My name's Henry Penry. The thing is with high sheriffs as well, like I know what that means in like a medieval kind of sense, but like a lawman, isn't it? But I just can't help but think like, howdy pilgrims, like a John Wayne type, you know?
Like, I gotta keep walking those in with Spain.
Yeah, those goddamn engines on the prowl. And like a six shooter, you know, on their waist. I just can't. Yeah, pew. And like a saloon doors, that's all I can think when I hear
I'm a long way from home with Henry Penry.
My name's Henry Penry. I hear you got a problem, you hear mine in town.
My boy, I've abandoned my boy.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that while I was taking a swig. Oh, very good. I've abandoned my Henry Penry.
I've abandoned my Henry. I've abandoned my Henry Penry.
Excellent riff. Oh, that's good gear. Anyway, sorry, back to Tycroes. Anyway, one of the farm fields on this Plas Mawr estate was rumoured to once have had a chapel in the middle of it, which is why the farm was called Ynys y Capel, or Island of the Chapel in English. There was also a rumour saying that Plas Mawr had an underground tunnel running all the way to Carrig Kenning Castle, which we covered the other day. I'm going to call absolute bullshit on this because it's 8 miles from Tycroes to Carrig Kenning Castle.
I was going to counter your bullshit
Oh, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, no, you go first, and then I'll counter your bullshit.
Well, I was just going to say, well, do you think the people of the time, if you actually just lose your brain for like 2 seconds, you're 8 miles of underground tunnel, do you think they're going to dig that?
Well, in that game I'm playing, that's like mad historically accurate, that the Kingdom Come, it's all based on a war in Bohemia in the 15th century, so 1400s. All the castles that you get attacked by all have escape routes, and they're like, they have good mining infrastructure, so they build these tunnels underground with like wooden beams and stuff. But 8 miles is probably a bit too long. But they do have like, they have like 3, 4, 5 mile ones, because you come out really far away, and they're all based on actual castles with actual escape routes.
Maybe I'll shut my fucking mouth.
So why don't you, Henry Penry, go fuck?
Why don't you read a fucking book for once, Jack?
But 8 miles does seem quite long.
It could have happened, who knows, and maybe it's just collapsed over the years. But I thought that was an interesting tidbit, because we covered it the other day anyway. T. Croce also is notable, if you're into the English Civil War, like some fucking loser, Oliver Cromwell rested in T. Croce during the Second English Civil War, if that's of interest to anyone. The other of the notable properties is called Eru Wasted. And I couldn't find exactly what it meant in Welsh, because Eru is acre, so it would be something to do with acres. But I couldn't find what Wasted was. Do you know what Wasted is?
No.
I didn't know I couldn't find anything on it.
Wasted?
Yeah, and Wasted, it's like, Guesti, Wasted, I don't know, something like that. But, Guesti, for those who don't know, is hotel. So maybe like a place of rest, I don't know. Any Welsh aficionados, feel free to get in touch if you do know what Wasted means. Eru Wasted is less than a mile from Plasmaur, and it was the home of the Price family from the 17th century. A member of said family, Francis Price, was also a Howdy Pilgrim sheriff in 1723. As with many villages in Wales, it owes its existence basically to the coal mining industry of the 19th century, which saw the village balloon from around 100 houses in 1900 to, with a population of 400 people, to about 800 houses today with a population of almost 4,000. So it, like, thanks to the mining, it's just like exploded in sort of its size, as is customary for a lot of smaller villages in Wales. And that's basically it for T. Croce. So very whistle-stop tour. The only other notable thing is Adam Price, the ex-leader of Plaid Cymru, is from T. Croce. That's the only other.
I love that voice, that accent. That, like, Ammanfuddy accent. It's like that West Indian. So, like, southwest.
It's a very... there's Welsh word soignol, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's which is what, like, I guess melodic. I don't know if that's quite an exact translation, but it sounds nice on the ears, doesn't it?
Mm.
So now on to where our boy Llion spent his youth, a lovely town called Llandeilo.
Oh,
so
that's a great
Llandeilo.
Accent.
Yes, that's a lovely accent. So Llandeilo isn't far from T. Croce. It's about 9 miles north from it. It's named after a Celtic saint from the 6th century, called Saint Taylor, or Saint Eliud in Welsh. He's the patron saint of fruit trees and horses. And as we've mentioned before on here...
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, they just throw random shit on these saints, don't they? As we've mentioned before on here, Llan in Welsh, Welsh place names means like a place of worship in the area. So it essentially means something like Saint Taylor's place of worship. Yeah, it just means there's a place of worship there. As our dear listeners will know now, I love looking into what miracles the saints do whenever I find them, because they're always fucking mad.
Can I have a guess? Water?
Yeah, go on. Roll the dice, yeah.
Yeah, you found a well. You found a spring found that
healed
people.
Healing spring, yeah. Well, how original, Saint Taylor. he did have a healing spring, shock horror.
Yeah.
That's such an easy one to do, though, isn't it? Oh, you drank from then, you didn't die. Oh, that's my first miracle. Miracle number one. So he had a healing spring, of course. But he did have, he's a little bit different this one, in that he's a bit more zesty, in that he also raised the dead at one point, apparently.
And, that's a better one. Saved, that seems like a fair one.
He saved some people in Brittany from a dragon, apparently, which he then chained to a rock in the sea.
Oh, cool. Complete bollocks.
Yeah, complete and utter rubbish.
That's cool. Yeah.
At least you could prove the fucking healing spring.
Isn't
to a degree,
it mad,
you know?
That, like, Christians have a go at, like, trans people. It's like, oh, you're not natural. You're not natural. Oh, let me just pray to my saint.
I'm going to pray to Saint Taylor, who chained a dragon to a fucking rock outside Brittany. Yeah. Well, this is another bullshit one. After his death, it's supposedly said, this was his last ever miracle, although I don't know if you should be able to count it if it's after his death, but basically after his death, his body split into three identical copies and three different churches buried them. They all claim that they've got his body. Yeah, it didn't happen. Let me tell you that.
No.
There's a he's apparently still a pretty big deal in Brittany. There's several churches named after him, and a Breton legend states that he once planted 3 miles of fruit trees, which to this day are called the Groves of Taylor over in Brittany. And his feast day is celebrated on the 9th of February, and apparently they do a big thing over there in Brittany for him.
Oh.
So on 9th of Feb, if you want to eat fruit and cheers St. Taylor and his bollocks stories, yeah, to a 6th century liar, deceiver.
Liar.
Yes.
6th century, yeah, that's the 500s.
Yeah,
that's
so
wild,
Celtic
man.
Saint.
Yeah, that's pretty.
They
cool,
believed any old shit back then, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, and now, but it is kind of cool that it stayed for what 1500 years.
That we still look. So we got like a town named after him. There's places in Brittany named after him. Yeah, it's quite cool. Even if he definitely didn't split into three fucking identical copies on death, like fucking osmosis. Yeah, triplets, Basil.
Triplets, Basil.
So that's enough about St. Taylor anyway. It's back to Llandeilo. So around 74 AD, the Romans were knocking about in the area that is now Llandeilo. There's even evidence of a military camp around what would become the Dinevor estate. The camp was linked to Llandovery and Carmarthen through roads and became a small town after the Romans buggered off around 120 AD. As I mentioned before, the place gets its name from St. Taylor, who was a contemporary of St. David's, or Dewi Sant, patron saint of Wales. And early Christian settlers, they developed around a church dedicated to St. Taylor, which around the 9th century became like a mother church to the surrounding areas. So it became like a kind of central hub for all the chrysos and the god-botherers.
Chrysos.
So this church, St. Taylor's church, got like... It was a lot fancier than the surrounding ones. So it got like loads of adornments and stuff. Like they found two Celtic crosses, like ancient ones, the like archaeology type stuff there, which would have been like prized possessions, very expensive back in the day. So it was like, it really showed how wealthy this like area was. Yeah. Oh, sorry, this church was. And just as an aside as well, Dinevor Castle, an often sought after prize for many a Welsh ruler, as we know, is also under 2 miles away and was the seat of power for the Kingdom of Deheubarth.
So, and it's my favourite castle in Wales.
It is a pretty sexy castle as far as castles go. Yeah, just Google images if you want.
Stone castle built by a native Welsh person. Built by Lord Rhys of Deheubarth, or Adgwith Rhys.
A Welsh-built one, isn't it?
Yeah. So, like, obviously there were other ones beforehand by the Normans, but they believe it was the first one made of stone by a Welsh ruler.
Mm.
God, I'm cool.
So this whole area was... Well, this whole area was historically rich, shall we say. Yeah.
Shall we say?
So,
we might say.
Shall we say? In the centuries after the Norman conquest of England, Llandeilo became a medieval market centre for the area. And from around 1291, hang on, what am I saying here? Sorry, I got all muddled up there.
You're a bit tired.
What am I on about? Oh, I'm fucking shattered, mate. Reading this is like fucking hieroglyphics.
I like it. It was all complete bollocks. You just sat at home, just like, eyes closed.
I'm looking at an absolute blank document, just reeling it off.
Well, you'll never guess.
Oh, so Elvis Presley was there. He split into three bloody identical copies when he died. Sorry, let me rephrase that and do it right this time, god damn it. Yeah. So, Llandeilo became a medieval market centre for the area, and from 1291, there was a fair held there called St. Taylor's Fair, or Fyr Sant Eilid, and that was an annual fair, and it was actually set up by Edward I, old Longshanks himself, which seems kind of strange to attribute something like that to him, because he's usually known for much bloodier, horrible things.
There must be some... parts where he's like, right, I can't just kill them with cruelness. There must be some sort of...
Yeah, I can't constantly slaughter them. I've got to do something somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it was known for that for a little while from the late 1200s. Fast forward a few hundred years to Owain Glyndŵr's rebellion, and Llandeilo was sadly on the receiving end of a scorching when Glyndŵr and his boys set fire to the town as they were marching through the Towy Valley in July 1403. Sandela also saw a little bit of skirmishing, apparently, when Carrigkennin Castle was being besieged by Yorkists during the War of the Roses in 1461. We talk more about that in the Carrigkennin Castle episode.
It always blows my mind that, like, that's War of the Roses, where they had they had some type of guns and cannons. And only 6 years before is Owain Glyndŵr's one. And that 6 year period, like, in warfare.
Like the innovation, sort of. Yeah. I know what you mean, because you think of Glyndŵr as it's sword and shield, bows and arrows, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, within less than a lifetime, people are fucking shooting muskets at you.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought I'd interject with that.
No, it's all good, mate. And then Llandeilo was under the command of a royalist, or a cavalier, as they were called, called Sir Henry Vaughan during 1648, during the First English Civil War.
Great-great-grandfather of Sir Vince Vaughan.
Sir Vince, he had the VVF, he had Vince the Vaughan VVF factor.
Vince Vaughan factor on lock.
He was like, oh, are we going to fight the Roundheads, Henry Vaughan? Hey, look, I just want to chill out, have a couple of beers for the guys. That was my Vince Vaughan impression, by the way. Absolutely pig awful.
I was like, oh shit, Jack's got a VVF up his sleeve.
Didn't even do an accent, just did it in my own voice.
And hey, what guys, we're going to watch the football.
Let's just go have some beers. Like, I mean, that does kind of, that could be a line from any of his movies, to be fair. So yeah, Sir Henry Vaughan, great-grandfather of Vince Vaughan. He was a cavalier, a royalist, during the First English Civil War, and he was commanding Llandeilo. They actually beat an army of parliamentarians, or roundheads, in April of 1648 as well.
We've said it before, haven't we? And I think in the podcast it's cavalier sounds gay, and roundhead sounds like an insult for disabled people.
It does, yeah. Oh, army of bloody roundheads knocking at the door. You know, it does sound like it's a horrible slur. Yeah. Anyway, we're almost at the end. We're in the home stretch now. Right, where was I? Oh, yeah. The only other notable thing after Vince Vaughan, so he beat this thing called the New Model Army, which was an army of parliamentarians,
and that was like the defining. That's when armies started, wasn't it? We'll get into that another day, maybe.
Yeah, we'll sort of touch on that another time. Yeah. But the only other notable thing running up to the modern day really was, and this is a bit of a down note here, was the Llandeilo Bridge incident of 1987. Llandeilo has quite a few railway bridges that run over the River Towy. And in 1987, a big storm caused like a huge flood and it overwhelmed one of these bridges. An early morning train actually came off the tracks and plunged into the river one day. It killed four people, including a young boy.
That'd be so scary.
Yeah, so that's a bit, I know that's a bit of a downer, so I'm not going to end it there. So I got another little bit, a few tidbits to lighten the mood before we call it a day. Llandeilo gave its name to an Australian town in New South Wales called Llandeilo. The town is twinned with Le Coque in Brittany. I'm assuming because that's the Saint Taylor connection, because they love him over there as well.
We should go to Brittany, imagine. We really should plan.
I really want to do that. Yeah, I'd love to go see like the Breton stuff they have over there.
Yeah.
It's not Brittany, is it, where they have the Owain Llaw Goch monument? I think that's somewhere else in France, isn't it?
I think. Yeah. I don't know. I reckon we should start planning that trip. And we'll do a little like long weekend to Brittany, and
we'll do what we did in Chepstow, and we'll maybe finally sort the mics out. Yeah,
no, sorry,
maybe, who knows? Yeah. So it was also Llandeilo was also voted the best place to live in Wales in 2017. So
everyone I've met who's from there has been a bit of a legend. My old boss is from there, and she was so kind and nice and chill. And I met her cousins, and they were really fun. They were all like, and Ellis Jameson's far from there. I don't think it's too far.
Well, there we are. They're all from. There's a veritable who's who of good guys. And
my boss.
Your boss, her cousins, Alice James, done.
Sort of the earth.
Then the notable people from Llandeilo include Griffith ap Rhys, Prince of Deheubarth, father of Lord Rhys, one of the most successful Deheubarthian kings, and a guy named Roger Hallam. I wasn't going to include anyone else, but this one struck me as a bit unusual. Roger Hallam, he is the co-founder of Extinction Rebellion.
No way.
Which I thought was a strange kind of bit of trivia, because you don't really think of it as, I think of it as more of a movement, I guess, but obviously it must have started somewhere. But yeah, Roger Hallam apparently is a farmer from Llandeilo, and he's a co-founder of Extinction Rebellion.
Those two things but there we are. Tend to go hand in hand, I don't think, do they? environmentally, because a lot of the bad things in our river comes from farms.
Well, yeah, like slurry. Slurry spreading and whatever, isn't it? And usually,
well, I suppose also that's probably a madly ignorant thing.
Maybe he's one of the good farmers.
Farmers probably don't even care about it.
All farmers fucking hate the environment, don't they?
Those things they work in every single day and rear and feed us. Yeah. Oh, those layabouts.
They don't even want the crops to grow anymore.
Yeah, that might be the dumbest thing I've ever said. Good thing it's not recorded.
Yeah, exactly. Can't edit that out. But yeah, that's it. That's it. Everything for T. Croix and Llan Deilor. Llion, you're welcome, mate.
You're welcome, mate. So I hope you're fucking happy.
No, in all seriousness, thank you for being a long time Patreoner, Taylor member.
Yes,
and yeah, we hope you enjoy it. And have a listen out for your Mabby Nogion episode, mate.
And that'll you're probably be, coming up soon. He's coming up to some of the other stuff as well because he's been. A
it probably is. Yeah, because we you've been a patron for ages, old Leon. But he's one of the ones that didn't answer.
Yeah, if you haven't got in touch to get back, if you haven't answered, because there's a bunch of you haven't.
There's a few more people who, we don't mind not doing the work, but we're happy to do it.
We'll put that out there. We're fine with doing the bare basics, but it is nice to learn more about places in Wales. I always do like them. They always think, oh, how interesting is this going to be? But Wales, every single town has got a story to tell.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like such a like bog standard history verge and stuff. There's just so much history everywhere, you know. Anyway, you look, so much history.
Well,
but it's true.
If you ask me, that's a Patreon ep. I think that's just done.
That's a Patreon ep. That's a solid Patreon episode there. You got some highs, you got some lows, you got some history.
Vince Vaughn factor, the VVF.
You got my impeccable Vince Vaughn impression.
Hi, would you like to go to the watch the
Would you like to come and have a ball game with me and a beer?
I'm Vince Vaughn. Oh, wow.
I have the Vince Vaughn factor.
All right, man, go get some sleep. I'll catch you soon.
Yeah, all right, nice one, mate. Ta-da, ta-da.